The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
Welcome to the One Fall Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Johnson, and today we're talking Japan. We're talking the G1. It's coming back. We weren't sure if it was going to be here, and they've announced they've got the schedule. We've made our predictions for who we think is in the final in the first two nights. Josh hasn't made his picks, but he'll just siphon off of us. Josh isn't here, but I am joined by the futurist, Martin.
Martin. Yeah, you did a good job there, the name. Josh isn't here, but really, that's a win for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll be able to talk competently about the G1, but you know what's going to happen? Somehow he's going to win one of these years.
Yeah, and it could very well be this year, because even as we were doing a little bit of talk about it before the show, it's just like, man, is it just ever up in the air this year? It feels so hard to predict what's going to happen, more so than the last 2 years, which I won our little competition. I've kind of felt like I was inside the head of Mr. Gato, but I don't feel that this year.
Well, I mean, you look at it. So I've made my picks, but you go for the top four guys, potentially five in Block B. You have Okada, Sonata, White, Naito, Osprey, Kenta, Ibushi, Evil, and on the outside, Tanahashi. You've got all storylines within there that in some way or shape or form could pay off. You've got some guys returning to Japan like a Kenta, like a Jay White, like a Will Ospreay, that I think will greatly help this tournament and add just to the level of talent. You have the G1 MVP consistently in Tomohiro Ishii. He's just going to put on incredible matches. But you look at this. This is up in the air this year. This is the first time that you're like, when I made my two picks, and we'll get to that in a moment, when I made my two picks, I was like, I think this is the way they're going, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're making the two picks, as I was mentioning to you. I like to, before making the picks, I look at the final night. I look at the matches of the final night and try and see what's in there. But even on that final night, you look at it and you see so many possible winners. You know, even in the main, you know, whatever the main event is for that night is going to play into the finish, as you think. But even what's going to main event feels like that could be switched around because of so many things. It's exciting. This is what you want. You want this. I mean, you're also looking, though. I mean, you got to think to yourself, okay, we want an exciting final night. We want an exciting finals match. We want a match that people can get behind, but we also want a winner who can headline the Tokyo Dome, because I don't think we're going to see a double headlining this year. It should be the winner of this should be headlining against Naito, and in between, this should set up one or two challengers in between for the belt. So let's see what happens.
Yeah. So. I'm gonna let you go first. Who are the two guys that you picked to be in the final night?
I have Kenta on one side because I think Kenta's got a lot of heat. I have Ibushi on the other side, and I don't have Kenta winning for the simple fact that they're still. Well, I don't think they see him main event in the Tokyo Dome. That's one thing. I think he's big enough in Japan, and especially with his Noah following and everything. It's not inconceivable, but I just don't see it happening over a guy that's more established there. Though the storyline could easily be argued to say this outsider is main eventing the most important event, and you know how do the people, the fans react to it? It would get a lot of heat. I mean, the idea of him winning the belt there would drive, well, member of Bullet Club would drive, you would think, their audience insane, and that's an argument to be made there that he could be the winner. Now, but I have a Bushi because I kind of feel like, okay, this is the time now. Like, you know, I mean, it's time to put him in that main event and elevate him to that spot. Certainly, he's still obviously heavy in the tag team division with Tanahashi right now. But I don't believe that come the Tokyo Dome that I don't think Okada is doing it this year. You know, I think Okada's hooked up with that new belt. Can't remember what it's called.
King of Pro Wrestling.
King of Pro Wrestling belt. Yes, thank you. I think he's hooked up with that. So it just makes more sense that he's hooked up with into that. So yeah, I have him. I don't have him winning. But so that means Ibushi to me is kind of the guy who I think, okay, he checks all the you know, all the stuff. He'd be a huge favorite against Kenta as far as the crowd, the audience, and how into it they'd be. He could main event. I think he's at that level now, where he could both be elevated plus is seen as that after last year and his prominent spot in the Tokyo Dome. And him, Naito, I think is just kind of magic whenever it's going to happen. Presuming Naito still has the belt, he could very well lose it before then. It's very possible.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's my picks. I can see the logic for either one of those guys winning, and I can also see the logic. At the end of the day, though, the logic to me leans towards Ibushi. So, what about you? What do you give me your stuff? Isn't it great to talk about this, by the way?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. With everything that has gone on in the world, it's nice to have quality pro wrestling to talk about. And I just got to say before I make my point, I've been talking to Josh a lot about AEW recently, as he's really gotten into watching it and watching BTE.
He has.
And we were just we've talked about Orange Cassidy. We've talked about the booking. We've talked about the Hangman storyline. I haven't seen this Wednesday's episode, but I've stayed offline. I've avoided all the spoilers. For WWE, I really don't care, but there's just such a joy, and there's such a like almost like kid-like fun talking about where AEW could go. Going, well, if Moxley's next competitor is Kenny, and Kenny and the Bucks turn heel, then Hangman could run through them, and then at the next All Out, 1 year after what happened with Kenny leaving him laying, with him just falling to the ground, not having a post-match beatdown, you can go to having Hangman finally topple the Cleaner and win his AEW world title 2 years after losing to Jericho and going on this downward spiral, then a year after Kenny leaving him. It's just been so much fun. I am just talking about the star power that is Orange Cassidy.
Oh, Orange Cassidy is absolutely his charisma is incredible. I remember when he started, Meltzer going, you know, he's just it's a gimmick guy to get over with the live crowd, but what can you really do with him? Turns out quite a bit. He's you know, I don't know if I'd call it. I mean, it's hard to imagine anybody else getting gimmick of the year, put it that way. And when we're doing our awards, like, it's hard to see him not being anointed best gimmick.
You want to know the best part about his gimmick is you don't feel like it's a gimmick. Don't feel like this is just something tacked on to the guy to make him shine a little bit more. You feel like it's just incredible. I bought an Orange Cassidy shirt. I finally was like, I need one. I want more. Like, just Orange Cassidy merch is just great. I'm really curious to see where he lands in the history of pro wrestling, and especially with AEW. But I feel like if he plays his cards right, and Tony, who very clearly likes Orange Cassidy, plays their cards right as a whole, I feel like they have a lot of money that they can make off Orange Cassidy.
Oh, like I said, I'm sure he's selling tons of merch.
He's top.
Sure, he's. Pardon me.
He's top of pro wrestling tees. If you go on there. Their sales so far for the year, it's 2 Orange Cassidy shirts and it's a couple Chris Jericho shirts.
I believe it. Yeah, I mean, and that says a lot. I think he's selling a ton of merch for them. And you know, I mean, good for him, man. And on BTE, how hilarious is it every time he's about to push the Kool-Aid off the table? I mean, it's so great.
Between of course, that,
Silver and Reynolds are great, especially Silver too.
Man, we had this conversation offline. I really hope that they find a way to translate what we've seen on BTE more into more of an audience mind for Silver, Reynolds, Evil Uno. The Dark Order is just amazing. And I didn't think it, like, even how that December episode ended, you were talking about how incredible, and it's interrupted the G1 preview show talking about how amazing the Dark Order is and how incredibly entertaining they are. Brody Lee feels like a killer. Like, they've done amazing. And the one thing that this G1 is lacking is potentially a Brody Lee, potentially a Moxley. I don't know if they would have been apart this year based on just schedule and being the world champion. But you've got two guys that could have potentially gone over and done a G1 circuit. I think Brody Lee would have been one that I would have really liked to have seen in there. And now they've locked down a potential superstar for them in Miro/Rusev. And he has an option to go to Japan. And I'd love to see... Yep. That's what he said on one of his Twitch streams, that all AEW talent are still allowed to do.
That would be very interesting. I hadn't really thought much about him in Japan, to be honest with you, because it felt like he wasn't going to go. But that's cool. I would love to see it.
I think he could learn a lot. I think that's the one thing about going to Japan and doing small little stints is learning, over there and getting a mindset. And last AEW thing I want to touch on, and then I'll go to my picks, because this got pointed out online, and I think it's really, really, really cool. So all of Jon Moxley's promos for every title defense he's had, he has called how the match is going to end for every single one. When he says something, he does it. He said that he would choke out Brody Lee. He choked out Brody Lee. When he said he would target, and the weakness of Brian Cage was the arm, and he's going to tear it apart, tore apart Brian Cage's arm. And in his latest title defense against MJF, he said, we're going to get into the weeds. We're going to get down to the nitty gritty. You're going to look for an out, and that's when you're going to lose. And sure enough, MJF looked for an out, and he lost. I freaking love that, because then when you hear Moxley promos moving forward, you're like, did we hear how the match was going to end? Like, is Moxley going to go out and do it? And you're just waiting to see if it's going to happen.
His promo work has been unbelievable. It's getting better and better.
You know? I feel like he's really, I think he's finally completely shaken Ambrose. Ambrose is no longer tied to him, and he is Jon Moxley. He's free, and he's someone I would have loved to seen in this G1. I'd love to have seen him in the B block. I'd love to see him in the A block with Okada, White, Ospreay, Ibushi, Shingo. The match that they had last year with Shingo and Ishii was incredible. So it's been like, if you could given that more of that to me, I would have loved it.
I really wonder what's going to happen with the U.S. title.
I do too.
You know, it's completely up in the air as well. And I feel like they got to find a way to get it off of him that doesn't embarrass AEW. And, and how do you do that? You give it to a guy like Kenta. Can you get him over to Japan? Not so easily. He'd have to be gone for 2 weeks just to quarantine, so it's not going to happen. So I would think maybe, and I don't think it's going to happen in the United States. So, I mean, you would have to think that either somehow in Canada or in Mexico, they'd have to work something out to get something, perhaps. Mexico seems most likely. But, again, it's a weird thing, and it does become a political thing when you start having, people. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. It's a confusing situation, honestly.
Yeah, there's a lot of cogs into that.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see how they do, because you do want to keep... You want to do your best to keep everyone as happy as possible. You have to. Because you don't... I think there's money still in Moxley in Japan. I think he was really over with the audience in last year's G1.
Oh.
So it's, you don't want to cut that off. You don't want to cut off from potentially.
No, but it's hard to imagine over the next couple of years him wrestling there at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be it's been however long, and it could be by that time we're said and done. It feels like it could be 2 years, which doesn't necessarily hurt him because people just pop the first time they see him, as they did the first time they saw him before. But him and some of the guys that you want to see over there, who have that opportunity in their contract, it feels like it's going to be so long. It's difficult to speculate. And 2 years is too long to put that belt on hold unless they want to just get rid of it. And they could. They have enough belts, and they have introduced another one, so though it's not a traditional belt. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see where everything goes. It's nice to see, like, shifting gears a bit now to my picks. It's nice to see.
Finally.
It's nice to see some talent in there. I know there's still very much controversy around Will Ospreay, and that's something that's going to have to be dealt with and addressed as time moves forward.
I don't know if it needs to be. Well, I mean, it does need to be, but I don't know if Japan is different.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. They're gonna treat it differently across the pond in England, and then over in America, that's a whole different game. Yeah. You are seeing, I believe it was Sir Larito. He will not be gifting any of Ospreay's matches, just out of his personal opinion, which is, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think if that's your prerogative and that's, you have logic behind it, and he does have logic behind it, then that's perfectly acceptable. So I just don't think, if I'm going through here, I don't think it's Will's time yet.
It's too early.
It's way too. You're gonna build him up more.
Joined the heavyweights. He's not gonna go right to the top.
No, and same with Shingo. But my pick for Block A is Jay White. My pick for Block B is Sonata. And one of the reasons I picked Sonata was one of the matches on the final night is Sonata versus Evil. And there are three matches that I feel like could main event. Sonata and Evil, Naito and Kenta, Tanahashi and Zack Sabre Jr. The first one I would give to is Kenta and Naito. And upon thinking about it, it's like, that's probably where they go with the main event because of the championship. But I could also see with the Evil storyline, that being the main event. We saw how popular Sonata was last year, especially with him finally getting the win over Okada. The lights that were shining, you definitely felt like Sonata was, that was a nice building block for Sonata. And I feel like getting a block win would be that next step for Sonata. Not saying he's going to win it all and run around and become a heavyweight champion, but I think maybe getting a block win would be that way. And it would be a nice cap off to the storyline because we really haven't gotten the full payoff with Evil joining Bullet Club and Evil and Sonata facing off one another. So that's my logic in going with Sonata, because I think they're going to want to go with a baby face. And we talk about heels that are hot. The other heel that the one heel that I think can instantly generate massive nuclear heat, especially if he goes on a really good run, is Jay White again. And I think Jay White is the next competitor for Naito that could give, has been in that, was in the, one of the big matches last year. I think this logically could be that next spot for him to be in that, to face off with Naito. Because I think they'll eventually want to put the title on him. And the other reason I'm picking Jay, and I do like your Kenta pick for the finals as well, is I think Bullet Club is running into where they got a little death triangle right now, where Jay White's seen as a leader, Evil was kind of trying to see as a, seen as a leader, and Kenta was kind of making a little bit of elbowing room. So I think those are the three horses jockeying for that number one ace spot in the Bullet Club. So that's why I went with Jay, because I think that plays into that story as well. I think Ibushi's my gut right now, and it could very much change and things can change. My gut tells me I think I see Ibushi wrestling Tanahashi in a special match at Wrestle Kingdom. But I'm not entirely sure on that. That's just a like a long throw a dart in the air and think that this may be where it lands. But that's kind of my logic where I went. And like you said, with Okada, he was tied up with this King of Pro Wrestling. Yeah, that was kind of my logic with why I made my pick.
Well, as far as Sonata, I mean, it's not a bad pick by any means. There's so many people that aren't a bad pick. My logic for not going with him is just simply that I don't think I can't see them thinking that he could main event the Tokyo Dome or even make people believe it enough that he might be there. Like, I just don't see them thinking that. I think in order to get him there, first off, he has to have like more given to him outside of the G1 and outside of, you know, perhaps a small title reign. Like, if he held the belt for a month and then lost it, that would establish him enough, like they tried to do with Evil, that I think people could go, okay, he might be in the main event of the Tokyo Dome. But until that happens, I think that they would think putting him in the finals and him possibly winning it would have fans going, oh, he's not going to win. Or they just don't – they wouldn't see it. That's just how I think that they yeah. – I don't think that they see him at that – you know, that point. As for Jay White, you know, I think that I mean, it depends. Like, the idea, there's so many ways you can go with him. One of the things about Jay White is there is that Bullet Club storyline of who is the current leader of the Bullet Club. And that feels to me like instead of having, I guess you could simply put him in the main event of the Tokyo Dome and that would establish it. But it doesn't feel to me like he, again, I just don't see him main eventing the Tokyo Dome. I think they learned their lesson when they kind of pushed him too far too fast. And yeah. I think they're going to be a little bit more careful, you know, this time with him. And to make sure he gets a lot of big wins and is put in a main spot without, though, having to carry necessarily the card. And carry the crowd. And so I don't think they're going to put him in that spot again yet until they build him up more. So both of your guys, I just see them thinking, okay, they're possible guys, but I don't think it's this year. I think if you look at a guy like Ibushi, even a guy like Kenta from, you know, his previous accomplishments, but especially a guy like Ibushi, they've built him up to this point where people could go, oh, yeah, he could main event the Tokyo Dome. I just don't think they have that same – I don't know, cachet with White and especially Sonata at this point.
No, that's one of my favorite parts about this is hearing other people's logic, and because there's logic in why you're making these picks. Yeah. It's not just, well, this is who Vince likes.
It's not just that we've cooled on this person or we've whatever. Like, Gato does, there's a plan behind what Gato does, you know, no matter what it is, there's a plan to it. I could very well see the Bullet Club exploding at, and Jay White being involved in that at the, you know, the Tokyo Dome. That makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, can you imagine, I mean, if they went in a different direction than we expected and it was Evil versus Jay White in the finals? Or even Evil. You know, or Evil versus Kenta even? Like, both of those would be. that would be interesting as hell.
That was one of the things that you were talking, and it's like, I wonder if they would do Evil and Jay. Like, I wonder how the crowd reacts to that. I wonder who they cheer for. Like, that would be incredibly interesting if they went that direction.
Well, like, yeah, I mean, because Kenta gets nuclear heat, and so does Jay White and Evil. They want to get him to that level. He's not quite at that level yet, but theoretically they could. The idea of either two or three of those guys squaring off, it would be so interesting to know who does the crowd hate the most.
Oh, yeah.
Because it wouldn't be who they like the most. It would be who they hate the most. And that would or could it utterly fail and they don't like anybody and they're just, you know, super quiet. That would be a shame.
Yeah. There's a lot of storyline threads that could be pulled with this. That I think will be, I'm looking forward to this. I'm really excited. Starts on the 19th, and even looking at this, like night one, we're getting Shingo Takagi, who I really like, versus Jay White. You're getting Okada versus Ibushi night one. Like, you're getting Ishii versus Suzuki, which they're going to murder one another. and then on the 20th, you're getting Tana versus Naito. You're getting Sabre versus Evil, Goto versus Kenta, Yano versus Sonata. So you've got good matches there. 23rd, you have a rematch between Ibushi and Jay White. Then you have Ishii versus Ospreay. Like, then you have Okada versus Takahashi, which I think we've seen enough of that.
We have seen enough of that, but whatever. They have to have somebody who's the loser on each block.
Yeah, you need the guy that's going to make things a little bit easier for that night. And, like, the 24th, you have Naito versus Sabre. Then you got Tanahashi versus Yano. You got Juice versus Kenta. 27th, you've got Okada versus Jay. I've seen that match live, so I like that. And then you've got Ospreay versus Shingo. Oh, my God. The 27th, you have Ospreay versus Shingo again. And Ibushi versus... Oh, my God. Block A is amazing.
I mean, both block... I mean, I remember thinking this last year. I was looking at it. I'm like, man, one block is so much stronger than the next. And then the next, that block that wasn't as strong, turned out that they had Tomohiro Ishii, and it was just as strong or better. Because it also had Shingo, so that didn't hurt. But, yeah, I mean, you look at it this year, and that block is amazing. But I think you're going to see incredible action all up and down. That's the thing is, bringing in these guys that they're bringing in, it's not a whole bunch of guys, but it just is just what the, you know, Cobb, White, Ospreay, you know, it's just enough to just take an already great talent base and just put it to the other level.
I think I'm going to pencil in the 27th to stay up late.
Yeah, you know what? Just take a vacation day that day.
And those even Cobb versus Suzuki, like you've got that, then you go into Ishii and Ibushi. Oh man, the 27th is going to be amazing. 29th, you've got Naito versus Goto, Yano versus Evil, Tanahashi versus Juice Robinson, which I think will be a good match. Sabre and Kenta will be fun. Then the 30th, you have Ishii versus Shingo, which if it was anything like last year, oh man. Yeah. Then you got Will versus Jay. Then you've got Ibushi versus Cobb and Okada versus Taichi. October 1st, you got Naito versus Sonata. There's a big storyline there. Kenta versus Evil, which is another storyline night. Man, they do such a great job. And then October 5th, you have Ibushi versus Ospreay. Please don't die. Please, please, please.
Oh, my God, though. Can you imagine?
They're just there. That's another day to circle on the calendar. And then you've got Okada versus Suzuki, and I've always liked those matchups. I really enjoy whenever those two lock up. You got Shingo versus Takahashi. You've got White versus Cobb. Then the 6th, you've got Tanahashi versus Kenta, which is a storyline in itself. You've got Naito versus Yoshihashi. You got Evil versus Juice. Sonata versus Zack Sabre. And then October 7th, you have Shingo versus Kota Ibushi. Yeah. I don't know how everyone's going to be alive. You got Minoru Suzuki versus Ospreay. You've got Okada versus Jeff Cobb, and then Ishii versus Takahata. The 8th,
you sound like you're excited.
I'm like, it just keeps getting better. Like, there are
matches. I know, that's the thing.
Like, October 8th, you've got Tanahashi versus Evil, which is, again, another... anytime Tanahashi steps in the ring, there's a storyline within it, simply because it's Tanahashi. He's no longer the ace, but he's the guy that you look at and you think a lot about New Japan. So having guys like Evil step up against him, it creates a storyline. You have Sonata versus Kenta, which is Bullet Club versus Los Ingobernables. You've got Yano versus Zack Sabre, Naito versus Juice. You've got to obviously find guys that can face Naito. Maybe Juice is a guy that you have as a challenger. I don't know how believable he is, but that could be someone that you throw in as a surprise. And it's like, oh, it's this guy. See what he's got against your heavyweight champion. And then October 10th, you've got Ishii versus Cobb, which will be good. Really good.
Really good. We've seen that before. It's really good.
You've got Jay White versus Takahashi, which will be good. You got Will Ospreay versus Taichi, which will be good. Then you've got Ibushi versus Suzuki, which we're just going to see. I wonder if Ibushi will go murder mode in that match. Well, we've seen him go murder mode again.
Don't. It's very arguable. Suzuki's had the most good matches of anybody on the planet this year, and that's even with the large break. He's had so many great matches. Suzuki, him and Nagata was crazy.
It's murderous grandpa versus potentially murderous G1 winner. And then you've got just this little match of Okada versus Shingo, which...
That might just be okay, right?
Yeah, that'll just be okay. Oh, yeah. Man.
Possibly the most underrated wrestler in the world against really the best wrestler in the world.
I'm so excited to see Okada. Okada, to me, is the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah, me too.
I think he's just the best. And I'm hard pressed to find an argument for others, but he's the best. Then the 11th, you've got Naito versus Evil storyline there. You got Yano versus Kenta. You got Yoshihashi versus Zack Sabre Jr. Sanada versus Juice, and then Tanahashi versus Goto. All good matches. And then October 13th. You have Will Ospreay versus Jeff Cobb. Mm-hmm. You have Takahashi versus Ibushi. You have Taichi versus Shingo. You have Suzuki versus Jay White, which it'll be fun to watch Jay White run away like a little coward. And then you just have this little match of Okada versus Ishii. Yep, that's going to be a lot of fun.
It could be fun. It could be a good time. We might enjoy this year's G1. It's possible. It is possible.
I mean, the last 2 years, you've just been so, like, from 2016 onward, I mean, you had those little matches versus Naito and Omega versus Okada. Those were fine. Then you have last year's G1, which was fine. This one might be all right. I'm so excited. This is going to be great. Like, even 14th, you got Tanahashi versus Sanada. That could be a big night for Sanada. You've got Goto versus Evil, Yano versus Naito, which that'll be a much needed night off for Naito's knees. And
unless he ends up tied into some sort of crazy thing in the outside, tied to the railing somehow.
Maybe Yano gets the world title shot.
I think Yano's going to play. I mean, he plays the role of spoiler every year, but it really feels like a year where, I don't know. I mean, with him winning the initial person to hold, I guess the KOPW title there. I don't think that he's going to get jobbed out. That's for sure. I mean, he plays the role of spoiler, and I could easily see it.
It would create interest and intrigue, and it's easy enough for Naito to get the win in a actual title match. So it's not like you're damaging Naito in any way, shape, or form. So yeah, let's do it. And then like the block A final, you've got Ibushi versus Taichi. You've got Jeff Cobb versus Takahashi. You have Ishii versus Jay White. You have Shingo versus Minoru Suzuki. And then you have this little match called Kazuchika Okada versus Will Ospreay.
Yeah. Just people that you kind of want to see occasionally wrestle.
Yeah. Not beaten to death. Not done over and over and over. But you know, when that happens, you're like, oh my God, I need to watch this live. And then Block B, on the 17th, you've got Sanada and Evil. You've got Naito and Kenta, Yano and Yoshihashi, Juice Robinson and Goto, and Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr. Yep. And then the 18th, you've got the final night.
It doesn't list who the main event of those nights is. I thought it listed who the main event was of all the different nights.
I Because I just grabbed it off any wrestling site that had a list of things. So I don't know what's... Well, I think when we get to the night, we'll have a better idea on the main event. I think some nights are very clear what the main event is early on, but I think as we get closer and closer down to
I thought they actually listed what will be the main event that night, but maybe they just list the matches and I'm getting it confused, and they just list the main event for the first couple of shows. Of course, if... excuse me. Came out of nowhere. If you aren't playing the prediction game for the G1, and I got confused because they had last year's name on it. It looks like they fixed it now, so it's saying G130. But if you aren't playing the prediction Twitter game that's available on the NJPW 1972 website, there's a couple different ones. Predict the two people in the finals and predict each night. And if you get everything right that night, you get a towel. If you win, if you get the right winners, you can possibly win a shirt. And it's just fun to do, and we've done it the last couple of years. It's just a good time. I hope people go and, you know, if they're listening to this, they hopefully already know about it. But if they don't, they should go and do it for sure.
It's legitimately one of my favorite things that we get to do. Like every year, I look forward to this. Just because you go through it and you're like, oh man, this is just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's tons of fun to do. It's tons of fun if you're competing against a couple friends and you're tracking who's winning. Because we devised a system where I think it's 2 points for a win, or 3 points if you get is it 3 points if you get correct a draw?
I believe so. I'm going to have to.
Or maybe it was 1 point for a win, 2 points if you correctly guess a draw, because they're very rare in the G1, but they do happen. And it was something like a bonus of 4 points if you correctly pick who wins the overall thing, and 3 points for picking a finalist. I think that's what it is. So there's a whole bunch of points up on the board available, and I kind of pulled it out with getting the finalists and the winners right in the last couple of years. So we'll see. I mean, I definitely think everybody should do it, though. Hopefully you can find somebody you can compete against. Otherwise, just do it anyways. It's a great time. And the first two nights are available. First four nights, actually. So first two nights of each block is currently available to do. And they open them up as we go along. And so you can't go too far down the road and get everything wrong.
And I will say, I always like to stagger. I know that they'll release a bunch of stuff, but I like to go I don't want to go too many nights in a row with A and B. I want to kind of see how things play out, then make the prediction and kind of constantly getting a gauge for where things are going. It's a lot of fun. If you want to compete against us, just follow all three of us on Twitter. We'll keep track of who's winning, and we'll I'll start releasing.
I'm doing it under the official We Talk Podcast website Twitter instead of under my personal one. That was kind of by accident, but now it's locked in, so it's locked in. Actually, I guess I could actually just make some different selections on the other one just as for the hell of it, since I have a couple of Twitter accounts, and try and see if I can win extra stuff. Wouldn't be my official predictions, though, but those would be the ones that I've already made with you.
I will again, as always, track on Excel spreadsheet, and we'll see who wins this year. You know what? By some fluky chance, it's going to be Arbuthnot. And then we'll have to listen to a year of him just enjoying his victory.
Yeah, I mean, I've brought it up many times that I've won because I will, but it'll be nothing compared to how many times we'll hear from him that he won.
He will be over the moon. He will be over the moon. But that's the fun of this. This is what and there's not a whole lot riding on this. It's really just listening to the other person natter for a year straight. And
yeah, we're not making the loser have to eat a jalapeno pepper or something.
No, who would do something like that? Oh man, any last thoughts on the G1?
No, I think that's it. I mean, it's you know, there's so many. Well, let's give our dark horse, the guy that you is the dark horse, that you think, okay, that guy's not going to be there, but what if he makes the finals? Why don't you give me your dark horse from each block?
My crazy dark horse From Block A will either be Minoru Suzuki or Ishii. And my Block B dark horse will be Tanahashi and Tanahashi or Zack Sabre Jr.
Sure, just do two of them just to make it that much more difficult.
I gotta make it hard.
Yeah. I said you're. I didn't say two. all right. I'm gonna say my dark horse. I'm gonna go with Shingo. Takagi as the one dark horse, and the other one, then I'll go with Taichi. And they've been pushing him a lot. And the other side, I'm gonna go completely out of the realm here, but I'm gonna go with Juice Robinson and Goto as two dark horses if I have to take from the other side.
Those aren't bad picks. Those aren't and that's the thing. Like the only couple guys I could see not win it are Yano, Yoshihashi, Takahashi, and Jeff Cobb. So the only four guys that I feel confident in saying they won't win, but everyone else feels like they have a potential to make a little bit of some noise and make it interesting. And that's the beauty of the G1.
I could see Robinson getting to the finals. I don't see him winning it. No. But I could see him getting to the finals. And I agree. Yano and Hot, Jeff Cobb is he should. I mean, he should be somebody we're talking about as a possibility, but he isn't. I would agree that, pretty much a good pick. I mean, I would have with Robinson not winning, but able to get to the finals. So.
And you look at the year that Machine Gun got to the finals.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it happened, right? And Goto's been gotten to the finals a couple times and won one. And I think he won one, didn't he?
Yes. He's the one that lost to Omega. I know that for sure. I believe he did finally get a win, or he got a win at some point earlier.
I think when he lost to Omega, he'd already won it once before, if I remember correctly. So but these things do get a little bit difficult to keep up with. But either way. It's going to be the most fun you can have as a wrestling fan this year. Not as a sports entertainment fan. Hey, that's where AEW comes in. But as a wrestling fan, and Lord knows Tori, I know, is a sports entertainment figure, if there ever was one. But other than absolutely. That, as a wrestling fan, this is the most fun you're going to have this year, is following along with this, watching everything if you can, but at least watch the main matches. Or because, I mean, the storylines get furthered in the tag team matches that happen before you get to the block matches. So, they further the storyline for the next night and the next matchup incredibly well. So it's great if you can watch the whole thing, but if you can't, definitely watch the block matches. And if somehow you can't do that, pay attention to what matches are getting the most star ratings, consistently, and track them down, because this is usually there is more good matches in this segment, in this little short period. There's more or as many good matches, great matches, five-star matches and whatever, as there is the rest of the year combined.
It's my favorite time as a wrestling fan. This is among my favorite times. I will do what I did last year. I'm gonna watch all the main matches, see some of the tag team stuff when I can, and I'm gonna follow along. I'm sure when I see Twitter freaking out about something, it'd be like, all right, don't need any spoilers, just need to sit down and watch. And that's what I'm going to do. There's incredible talents in this tournament, and it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. And I think we could potentially see one of the matches of the year happen. I think my match of the year is kind of locked in a little bit more as I think about it.
Hard to top if it's the match I'm thinking of. A certain tag title match. It's that one. It'd be really hard to top that match.
I really liked Okada and Ibushi from Wrestle Kingdom, and having them wrestle again in the G1 block is going to be just stupidly great to see again. And Okada is best wrestler in the world. But that tag team match, just I go back and will watch that match at different points just because of how incredible it was. Yeah. It was an incredibly, it just showed how incredibly talented all four guys are, and just showed what good tag team wrestling can do.
It's perfect. That match is perfect. So yeah, it's pretty damn tough to top that one. But hey, the G1, if anything can do it, it's going to happen here at the G1.
Absolutely. And it'll be
interesting, you know, with the crowd there, they have that app that allows them to cheer virtually and make some noise. It's a little bit clunky, but it's better than nothing. And, and they'll clap and they're whatever without screaming. So it will help the atmosphere quite a bit, and it's more than you're really effectively getting other places, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. Martin, thank you for coming on. I think we're going to have to try to do as many G1 podcasts as we can this year, just because this is a shining light in a otherwise rocky year, and I think there's a lot of good things to talk about.
That's true. It's been 2020 is a hell of a year, but they've managed to pull this off, and it looked like we weren't going to get G1 this year. And here it is, and it's a gift for us all as wrestling fans. So enjoy it, folks.
Yeah, I'm certainly going to enjoy it. Thank you, Martin.
You're doing pretty good.
I almost slipped up there. I corrected myself. I'm feeling good about that. Thank you for coming on. Is there anything on the We Talk site that needs to be plugged for the rest of this week?
I mean, there's so much stuff happening on the site as far as, you know, regular sports talk and, you know, music talk and pop culture and different things. And it's always, you know, it's always there's always something going on. So, you know, we've had a couple big music interviews lately, but I'm not sure if they'll be up how quickly. So that's unfortunate. But so I can't really say this week. But if you're not following us, you know, regularly and subscribing, getting emails to let you know when stuff is going on, you're missing out.
You certainly are. And as much as we'll rag on Josh, he's got quality content coming out almost daily.
He's so a damn professional. You know, I mean, I have to say, that guy's a professional broadcaster if there ever was. Not like me. I'm just some guy who talks on podcasts.
And we know which one's better. definitely give Fresh Take a look. Definitely, if you like pop culture, sports, they've got their weekly fantasy show featuring two professional broadcasters. So you get two for the price of one podcast, and that's pretty darn good.
It's all free.
Yep, it's all free. And One Fall will constantly be here to talk about wrestling as we just as the drumbeat continues to march on. Where there will be G1, there'll be more wrestling to talk about. So make sure you stay subscribed, listen to us, and we will be back with more G1, AEW, WWE news as it will never, ever stop. Ever stop. Never slow day. All right. We will be back very soon with more wrestling news.
Goodbye. And good night. Bye.